Turn with me tonight to the book of 1 John. It's right before 2 John. Chapter 3. Something that God's been dealing with, been burning in my spirit. Let me speak a few words to you. What time is it? Still dark. In fact, it ain't dark yet. It's getting dark. Now, I got to fly out tonight myself, get back to New Orleans, do some more television. I got to go to Montana. I got people, my guys are running to Montana. I got people going. I mean, we're running. So, I mean, I'm going to get to bed probably later than most people, but that's all right. And probably get up earlier than most people, but that's all right. So give me a little time tonight, if you don't mind. I want to deal with this tonight. It's been burning in my spirit since January. 1 John chapter 3. First, let me say this statement. You have a destiny. Faith has a destination. You and faith is about ready to hook up. There's a crossroads coming. Your destiny and faith's destination is coming to pass. They will meet, and both of you will be hurled toward the kingdom of God at an alarming rate. Remember that statement. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now what does that mean? There's four types of love in the Bible. We only have one word for love in the English language. It's called love. L-O-V-E, love. And it's really a very weak word, because when you see it in the Greek, there's four words for, or four types of love. The agape kind of love, which is the God kind, filio kind of love, storge kind of love, and eros kind of love. Now, the Greek puts it down into four different types of love. And that's what John's saying. Behold, what manner of love, agape, filio, storge, eros. Agape is the God kind of love. Filio is like a Jonathan David, a friendship love. Stargate, mother-daughter, father-son. Eros, sexual love, where we get the word erotica. Now, the only thing the world understands is eros. To them, that's love. That is actually the lowest part of love, is the eros. The highest is the agape. But not all those are supposed to work together into agape, and that's God's plan. So that's what John is saying here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So don't get mad at me if I call myself a son of God. God said I could. I'm in the family. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said, I'm in Christ. He said, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. He said, say unto the mountain, to be thou removed. He didn't say climb the mountain. He didn't say become a mountain climber. He said become a mountain dissolver. It's in red, ladies and gentlemen. Red is about as hot as you can get. So believe the red parts. Say unto the mountain, be thou removed. That's what he said. He said that. Kenneth Hagin didn't write that. Everybody thought he did, but he didn't. Jesus wrote that. So that we're called the sons of God. I've had some people get very angry. Who do you think you are? Well, how much time you got? I'm a son of God. How can you call yourself a son of God? I didn't call myself a son of God. God called me a son of God. I am not the son of God, but I am a son of God. I'm in the family. Jesse Duplantis Christ. So are you. We're in the family. And I refuse to let anybody tell me I'm not. And I refuse to let anybody tell me I'm guilty, because I will not receive condemnation. I cannot be condemned. Now hang on. Why? Because there's therefore now. What time is it? Now. No condemnation to them who are in the family. Now that's what he said. Now, the church don't believe that. We either you lying or God lying. I pick you. I've said this many places. You know why God can't lie? You ever thought why God can't lie? Why can't God lie? You can lie. You have lied. How many of y'all haven't lied? See? One guy just lifted his hand. He just became a liar. I saw you. You know why God can't lie, Bruce? You ever thought why he can't? Because if he did, it would turn into the truth. Because if you can ever get God to say something, it is. It becomes what he says. So he can't lie, because he would turn into the truth. That's why he can't. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. So I don't get mad when people don't understand me. They of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. so the world knoweth us not. I had some people say, I don't understand you. I said, I can understand. I'm not of this world. I'm an alien. See, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. So I don't get all bent out of shape when people don't understand Christianity or Christianity. The world knoweth us not. Why? Why doesn't it know us? Because it knew him not. That's why Christians are criticized. They don't know who we are. We're a new species. They never seen nobody like us. Why? We are reflections of Christ. We do not cast reflections upon Christ. See, that's why I live a holy life. People say, well, bless God, Brother Jesse. The world and all its possessions is given to people who cannot be tempted to fall. Breathe on that for a minute. The world is your oyster. If you're Cajun, you'll suck it out the shell. The world and all its possessions are at the feet of people who cannot be tempted to fall. Think about that for a minute. That's a crucified flesh. That's why Jesus is on the throne today. Think about that. Watch this. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. So I can understand that. Now verse 2 is where I want to get to. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This was wrote 2,000 years ago. John said, now are we. So my Lord, we've matured 2,000 years in sonship. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now here's the statement. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. What? What are you saying, Brother Jesse? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. My God, I can't wait till I see myself next year. Oh, I'm going to look at myself next year and go, wow, Jesse. I'm spitting on myself. Oh, boy. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, my God, I have the fullness of the Spirit. God gave it to me. I got the 9 fruits and the 9 gifts. I got the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. God said, say unto the mountain, gave me the name of Jesus. He said, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above, we can possibly ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He said, if you God be for you, who could be against you? You've received redemption. My Lord, you've received the anointed and his anointing. How Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil. Ephesians 5:1 comes in. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. Lord, is there any more? What more? We're sons of God. We sit in heavenly places with him. And God says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What are you talking about tonight? Faith has a destination. I have a destiny. And we're coming together. So I can't wait till I see myself next year. I'm going to go, whoa! Just sit. You got it, boy. Come on, let this get in you, which is in Christ. Lord, look how much we know about the Word of God. Look at you, or are you students? You taught the Word of God. You victory students. You taught the Word of God. I mean, we have Greek. We got Hebrew. We know so much about what we are. And God says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That just turned my clock. I thought, man, Lord, what are you expecting? He said, Jesse, you're going to be so shocked when you see yourself next year. Sometime I just go look at myself in the mirror. Sometime Kathy catches me. What are you doing? I'm trying to see what I'm going to be. And I like what I see. I got all this stuff. I got the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. My God, man. And yet, I still don't know what's coming. Faith has a destination. I have a destiny. Now, a man asked me one time, why do you believe in faith? Write this down. Faith adds color. Faith adds atmosphere. Faith adds horizon to my life. Faith has color. When you see people full of the word of God, full of faith, they're not walking around like this, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Here we go to church again. I don't know why they don't cancel them Sunday night services, bless God, so we can just play with our family. Faith adds color. People say, are you word of faith? Well, what are you, word of doubt? Why would you section off a certain of people and call them word of faith? All of us are word of faith. The Assemblies of God are word of faith. The Baptists are word of faith. The Catholics are word of faith. The Church of Christ is word of faith. The Baptists, the Episcopalian, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, the United Pentecostal. It all took faith to become one of those people. We are word of faith. And if you're not, then you must be word of doubt. See, the word Christ means the anointed and his anointing. Now, if you don't believe in anointing, then take that name off your church. Just call it the Church of. Because that's what it means. So if you don't believe in the gifts and the fullness of the Godhead, why would you call yourself Christ? Just call yourself Church of. Of what? Take your best shot. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. So when the devil said, you ain't nothing, I said, go read about me, boy. I'm a son of God. And it doth not yet appear. Look how much I already know. But it doth not yet appear what I shall be. Ooh, just let me hug myself, Jesus. And you should be doing this to yourself. But you'll be condemned and beat down by this hierarchy called religion. God says it is finished. You take what belongs to you and hurl yourself toward the kingdom of God. Faith adds color. Adds atmosphere. See, if I go to a place and they don't have atmosphere, I create it. The devil don't know what I'm going to do, and neither do I. I don't know. And you got to understand something about people. I don't know why. For some reason, that thing right there, that television, everywhere I go, it follows me. Watch. Watch it. Look, see, it just, like, stop. See, it just comes. Don't laugh, cameraman. Keep it quiet. Here I come. There's people in their living rooms going like this. Ooh, Jesus. They don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. But that thing, if you're on television a lot, people want to talk to you, which is wonderful. But sometimes you want to go to the bathroom. You do not want to talk. You are going to the bathroom. So people say, I will go with you. No, I don't want you coming with me. You stay outside. Faith adds color. I went into a bathroom not long ago. We were in Hawaii preaching. Bunch of cursing going on by a bunch of guys in there, blankety blank. And I said, I can change this. So I went into the stall and closed the door and hollered, glory! And I heard him go, close up, close up. I'm going to change some atmosphere. Change that atmosphere. Praying in tongues. Everybody shut up and listen. And I open up the door and I can see him like this. Faith adds color. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Anybody got a handkerchief? A clean one, please. One time a person gave me a handkerchief. As long as they ain't doing stuff in there. So let me check that out. One time somebody gave me a handkerchief and I wiped my face and scratched myself. I said, you got to be careful. Look at this. Some people wanting to laugh so bad. They're going. It doth not yet appear. Faith adds color. It adds atmosphere. Faith don't let you see where you are. Faith lets you see where you're going. Horizon. Glory to God. Faith adds color. Faith has a destination. I have a destiny. You see, but if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. That's the problem with Christians. We're just traveling through. Well, when are you going to get through? Well, Mama tried that and died. Well, it looks like you're going to bite the dust in a few days yourself. Do you understand? We should accomplish what we set out to do. Why? It doth not yet appear. If you think God is finished with o'er you, it doth not yet appear. If you think God is finished with victory, it doth not yet appear. What do you think all them seats are back there for? Not for guest speakers, for the whole church. Multiple services. Seven a day. Oh my God, how many this place seats here? I don't know. How much there may be center seats? 10,000 times seven, 70,000 people. Oh, we can't. Oh, it's just, there's no way we can believe for that. Then it will never happen. Why? Because your destiny is not on the same track as faith's destination. It does not yet appear. Faith adds color, adds atmosphere, adds horizon to your life. What are you saying? Man succeeds because he thinks he can, or fails because he believes he will. I decided to believe that I would be a success. What is a success? Not money and not television. Success to me is the peace of God. Let me give you a definition. I wrote it down. I haven't even put it in my notes. And I wrote down a piece of paper what peace is. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. And I never really could understand. You know, I know the Greek terminology of peace and the Hebrew terminology of peace. And I've studied all that. But I said, you know, God, just make it simple. Instead of getting into this homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological way of thinking, this academic way of saying something, what does it mean, huh? Let's just get down to the common man. He gave me this. Peace is the possession of adequate resources. Isn't that good? That covers the whole ball of wax. Jesus said, my peace, I leave with you. That means the possessions of adequate resources are at your availability. Your children believe in that. Your children go to that refrigerator expecting it to be full. Why? Peace. They walk into a grocery store. They walk into a clothing store and they say, buy me this. Because according to them, you are El Shaddai. You dad, that's more than enough. You have adequate possessions to take care of this thing. Peace. Isn't that a good definition? Now, you know, let's just knock out all the religious, theological wilderness and just get to something simple. What is peace? It's the possession of adequate resources. I just wrote that down the other day. Just really blessed me. Man succeeds because he thinks he can, or he fails because he believes he will. But my Bible said, oh, beloved, now we are the sons of God, yet it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Watch this. But we know, it didn't say we believe. He said this 2,000 years ago. But we know that when he shall appear, ooh, Jesus, we shall be like him. Oh, Jesus. Now, I've seen Jesus. I've talked to him. Watch this. For we shall see him as he is. I've had that honor. Jesus is a nice person. But you know, John was on the road with Jesus for 3 years. Saw Jesus raise the dead. Saw him heal the blind eye and the cripple. You think he would have had a good picture of Jesus. But he never saw Jesus until Jesus left him. Because the book of Revelation says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when he got into the Spirit, then he saw Jesus the way he really was. And you can go read that in Revelation. He went, oh. And yet he had been with him for years. But you can't know God till you see him in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's. Well, let's just read it. Let's right over here. Revelation. I think it's Revelation chapter 1. Glory to God. Watch this here. This is so, and all of a sudden messages to the churches begin to take off. Let's see where it is here. Verse 10 of chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It wasn't like this. Hello. Oh, hello. This is Mary's boy. this was a great trumpet. Then notice this. The minute that happened, red came upon the Bible. Boy, when Jesus talks, it's hot words. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Wow! The first and the last. When thou seest, write a book. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Brother, you can read chapter 1 of 1 John. He fellowshiped with him, put his head on his chest. You'd think he would have known God. But he never saw Jesus till he saw him in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Faith gave him color, gave him atmosphere, and gave him horizon. Man succeeds because he thinks he can, or fails because he believes he will. Now you see, the reason why I believe this way, because there's nothing infectious about a secondhand faith. Amen. Nothing infectious about that. I want something infectious. I preached a sermon. I may have preached it here. I don't know if I did or not. Years ago, it's my favorite sermon. Now I preach hundreds and hundreds of sermons, but I'm saying my most favorite sermon is a sermon that I preached in 1982. I've preached it over in some areas of it, and I hadn't preached it for years, but about 2 or 3 years ago, I knocked the dust off it, Brother Hilton, and started preaching it. And I got it like this. I was about ready to be introduced as a convention speaker, and this guy said, the biggest pest I know, Jesse Duplantis. Made me mad. I thought, you ignorant fool, why would you call me a pest? In front of everybody, bless God, the place a fool. And he went, said to myself, strike him, Lord, you know. Say, call me a pest. But I wanted to put King James on, smote the boy. Smote him, Lord. But you know, I preached that night, boy, we had a glorious service, and I went back to my hotel room, and I had that word pest on my mind, a little irritant. Call me a pest. Then it dawned on me, there's the word pest in the Bible. So I got out my concordance. In those days, I carried Young's, I carried Strong, I'd carry books, blessed God. No clothes, didn't have any, but I had books, glory to God. You know, I just used to love to study, still love to study. And I found the word pest in the Bible. The Bible said they called Paul the Apostle a pestilent fellow. Yeah, the American Standard, the NIV says a real pest. Then I looked up the word pest in the Greek, and it meant Christian disease. Christian disease. Then it dawned on me, Jesse, you a virus going somewhere to infect somebody, but the power of Jesus' name. A pestilent fellow. It's my favorite song. Word fellow means a reproach against sin. Who? The guy was a disease for Christ. He infected you with God. He was a reproach against sin. The Bible said he was a military commander or of the sect of the Nazarenes. That was the best compliment ever paid to me in my life. Called that pastor and said, thank you. He said, Jesse, that's the highest compliment I ever get. You are a disease for God. You infect people. When they least expect it, I'll run up your nose and you won't know I'm there. Why, Brother Jesse? It doth not yet appear. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. My Lord, God, can we stand anymore? Can we stand anymore? Lord! What else is out there that you have for your children when you've done so much already? You see, the reason why people don't understand God, they have a relationship with him instead of a fellowship with him. That's the problem. If all you ever do is a Sunday morning Christian, you'll never get to the point of fellowship. You'll only have relationship. You see, when you don't understand God, then you say things that you think God said. Or you accuse God of things that he never did. Do you know if I believe most of the stuff preached about God, God would be a child abuser? They'd put him in jail. Don't shout me down. But God is a God of love. He's a God of judgment. You better know he is. But if you obey him, you never see his judgment side. It's like I used to tell Jody, my daughter's now married. She's going to be 25 years old this year. But to make a long story short, I used to tell her when she was little, obey your mom and daddy. And you will never see our judgment side. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the mall. Just obey us. That's all you got to do. Just obey us. We're nice people. You're thinking of your future. You will never see a judgment time. Same way with the Lord. We're his children. We kill all fear through fellowship with the master. That's the problem. We kill that fellowship because we think of God as this person half mad. We think of the IRS as our enemy. Do you know the IRS is not your enemy? You've been taught that by some CPA that's making you operate in fear instead of operating in faith. Well, and all of a sudden he'll show you. Put this on television. Come here. He'll show you a pastor with chains on his hands. He's trying to get your business. He's going to get it by fear. Let me give you a word of wisdom. Don't join that firm. IRS is not your enemy. IRS will help you if you let them. All they want you to do is do what you said you would do if you was an American citizen. But ain't nobody want to do that. It's called slipping in the dumbness. It's called the gray area. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Ain't nobody want it black and white. Let's go to the gray area. We're trying to push this through. Oh, then you make the IRS look at you. But if you just do what they said, you got no problem. Thank you. That's really true. Yes. See? I tell you, these agents will talk to you. Yes. They will. They're not your enemy. You see? But if you automatically in fear, then you're telling somebody that you may have done something you shouldn't have done. See? They start looking now. What do you say? Well, bless God, when I come to God, I don't say, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. Oh, Lord, don't hurt me. Don't kill me. God, oh, Jesus, thank you. No, I go, hello, Jesus. He say, hi, Jesse. Come over here. Sit on my lap, boy. Yes, we have fellowship. Watch this point. The fact of sonship makes us quite sure of our future. Man, I have a bright future. It does not yet appear. Why? Because I'm a son. Do you know my daughter has a bright future? Because I'm her daddy. I will do everything in my power to be a blessing to my son-in-law and to my daughter. And we don't have any grandchildren yet. We got a cat. But the cat's blessed. Think when I get a grandchild. Oh, God. Will that kid be blessed? Yes. Why? Papa. I don't have one yet, but I know it. I have a responsibility to give an inheritance to my children's children. I am going to be a wonderful grandfather. The kid's going to want to stay at my house more than he's going to stay at his mama's probably. I'm going to bless him or her or both of them. Or however, how many? Or one. Just one. Just one. I'm going to be a blessing. And they're not even born yet. And I'm already thinking, well, take care of this. That's how God is. Why? It's the fact of sonship. Now, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4 real quick. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, that'll help you where it's at. Galatians chapter 4. I want you to see this. Y'all enjoying this tonight? Galatians chapter 4, I want to read. Starting with verse 4. Listen to the point. The fact of sonship makes us quite sure of our future. And I want to read this, and then I'm going to go back to the statement here. We kill all fear through fellowship with the Master. See, when you fellowship with God, you find out who He is. But if you have just a relationship, you just don't really know. See, most people know about God, but they don't know God. You know? Pastor Billy Joe's not here, so you can edit this off the tape. When I first met Billy Joe, I first met his mother. In Magnolia, Arkansas. I preached in Magnolia, Arkansas. She said, you need to meet my boy. Is she here tonight? I don't know. She's with him. She's such a sweet lady. You need to meet Billy Joe and Jerry. I said, I'd love to. This was years ago. But, our paths didn't cross because he's busy and I'm busy. And, you know, people told me how wonderful this man was. And when I met him, he has the most unusual laugh I've ever heard in my life. I did not expect to hear. I can't do it. And he did that back in that room back there. And I thought, That man need healing. That man, close to that brother. Now, don't tell nobody. I can't do it. And Sister Sharon. I thought, praise God. So, first time I preached for Billy, I went to some of my friends. They said, did he laugh in front of you? I said, what was that? They went, yeah, isn't that a kick? Because when pastor laughs, he laughs from way down. And by the time he gets to the top, it's, ah! He's got a great laugh. Now, that's not making fun of him. I'm a God. I'm doing it on tape. Because I said, I wish I could laugh like that. I can't laugh like that. I've never heard anybody laugh like that in my life. I thought something was wrong. First, I thought it was a fire alarm when I first heard it. Now, I'm not making, people say, you're making fun. No, I'm not. Because it's unusual. I like it because it's different. God likes it because he gave it to him. Galatians 4. Watch this. But when the fullness of the time was come, God, Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Watch this. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God's trying to get me in his family. And because you are sons, this is wrote 2,000 years ago, and he says, and when you become sons, it says, and because you are sons. Oh, I love this. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts. Now, most Christians don't get this last statement, crying, Abba, Father. You don't call God daddy. That means daddy, daddy. People think that's disrespectful. Don't call God daddy. Well, my father, my earthly father, I call him daddy. I call him father. I call him both. This is my father. But when me and my father by ourselves, I say, hey, dad. He don't go bow down before I kill you, boy. And if I want to get his attention, I go, daddy, 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 daddy. Because he's 73 years old, you know. Daddy, daddy. Sometimes I think he don't want to hear me. Daddy, daddy. People can't receive that. That was said 2,000 years ago. What are you saying? I'm saying the point here. Faith has a destination. You have a destiny. The fact of sonship makes us quite sure of our future. Why? The joy of that fact. This is not a theory. This is a fact. I have the joy of that fact. The safety of his favor. God loves me. The inspiration of that feeling to know that the devil's going to hell and Jesse going to heaven. Boy, that makes the devil mad. So you want to shake him up? Just walk around to them and go, pit, 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 pit. Boy, you don't like it. Ooh, oh, pit. I said, where you going? Pit, pit, pit. Pit. Falling. Pit, pit, pit. He don't like that. But you see, faith has a destination. How do you know? Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Yet it does not yet appear. My God, tomorrow. A new day. Wow. I don't know if I'll be able to stand it. He's done so much. What more does he need to do? How do you know? I have the joy of the fact of a sonship. The safety of his favor. The inspiration of his feeling. Or the inspiration of that feeling. See, endeavor to keep yourself vividly aware of the fact that God is always looking within you. God searcheth the heart. Now, if you go over back to 1 John, you'll find 1 John, and you don't have to turn to it. Let me just read it to you real quick. You'll find 1 John 3, and it says here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Didn't say relationship. Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, not relationship, is with the Father and with his Son Jesus, the anointed and his anointing. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. See, so when you have fellowship, you kill all that fear. Now, let me parallel it. When you want it, how many single people we have here today? Hold your hand down. Cool, man. All right. When you see a good looking girl or you see a good looking guy, you want to get their attention. Now, how you get their attention without looking like an idiot or saying something stupid? You know, you want a form of relationship. So usually you try to go get somebody to introduce you. Well, you ought to just walk up and say, "Hi, I got to meet you." But you don't want to say that because you don't want her to think you're a fool or vice versa. Or too forward or too dumb. You know, things of that nature. So you're trying to form. So there's a little fear there. Think about it. There's a little fear. Just want to get close to this mama. You know what I'm saying? What's happening, mama? But you don't want to say the wrong thing. Act like a fool. Sound stupid. So there's a little fear there. But once you make that step, you might go somewhere and get a cocoa, be with a bunch of people, and they start talking. That relationship's formed. And you begin to talk. All of a sudden, you have a date. Now, I'm going to tell you what the boy's thinking. Should I kiss her? Now, don't lie, guys, because that's a fact. You're waiting for the end of the date. You don't care what happens before. You're waiting to get to that door. Come here, mama, I'm going to double lip lock you today. Now, I ain't no use to lie about it because that's simply the truth. That's human nature. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Look at all the single people. Now, what's amazing, you think that's only for young people, but they don't make no difference if you're 80 years old. I had an 80-year-old man woke me up one time. He said, "I want you to pray for me to get a woman." I said, "You got to be kidding me. Are you serious?" He said, "I ain't dead." I said, "No, you ain't dead." He said, "I want a woman." I said, "Well, go talk to her. I ain't got none here." I thought the old man was something, but bless God, and he did get married. God sent him his mouth. But notice as you begin to form that relationship, then a fellowship takes place. Then you can really let that girl see you the way you are, or really are. Or you let that guy see you the way you really are. Without the makeup. Without the sweet smelling stuff. I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about. And when he finally sees you, he thinks you're another person. What happened? But you get to that point that if he don't like me the way I am, bless God, take what he gets. This is it. That's called marriage. And that beautiful girl gets up with that house coat that a dog wouldn't sleep on. And her breath will knock a maggot down. Boy, I ain't kidding. That's called reality. What you want, honey? You gonna fix me breakfast? Fix it yourself. That's called reality. But see, if you're in love, that's called fellowship. See? And it didn't make any difference. Glory to God. That guy must have saw his wife ugly, huh? My God. No, I'm just joking. What I'm saying is, it's called being yourself. You got to see God the way he really is. And he's not ugly, and he doesn't have bad breath. And he's not mean, and he's not a child abuser. And he's not going to put cancer on you to teach you something like some fool preacher will say. You hear me? That's the truth. And he will not kill your baby to teach you something. And he's not going to say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Job said that. But most people that preach on that don't know the difference between the spelling of Job or the spelling of Job. Or in other words, accuse God of trash that doesn't even exist in his mentality. I had a man said, "What makes you think God loves you so much?" A theologian. I said, "I heard him think." He said, what? I said, I hear God think. What makes you think you can hear God think? I said, I have the mind of Christ. Aha! And when God thinks about me, he thinks good thoughts because I'm his son. When I think about my daughter and my son-in-law, I think good thoughts. When me and Kathy are in the mall just by ourselves and Kathy sees something, she says, let's buy that for Jody and Ed. I said, let Ed buy that for Jody and Ed. But she's thinking good thoughts. My son-in-law says, let the Lord lead you. I heard God think. Have you ever thought about that? Hear his thoughts. You have his mind. How do you know? It doth not yet appear. Faith has a destination, and I have a destiny, and we're coming together. Ooh, this is good. This word of God is an unfolding blueprint of our lives. 1 John chapter 1. Let me get to that. Y'all enjoying this? I am enjoying this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. What are you saying here? The word of God is an unfolding blueprint of our lives. What are you saying? Look at me when I say this. The word of God cannot be divorced from life. You can't be a Christian and divorce the word of God out of you. The word of God and you must be one, as in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Here it is. It cannot be divorced from life. I want to know what God says. Go read his book. The Lord told me that one time. Brother Hilton, I really appreciate your insight and wisdom that God has given you in eschatology, you know, the end time. I know that word. I looked it up today. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't preached much on end times because let Brother Sutton preach on that. He got a revelation on that. Bless God, you know. And it just blesses me. And, you know, some people say, well, why would he preach so much on that? That's what God told him to preach on. What's wrong with that? Is that a problem? My God, we need that. Because, some of them signs and them signals and Daniel and Revelation is, hard on me, and dragons and horses and horns and bulls and whores. It's in there. And I go, man, I don't understand this, but Hilton does. And then he takes it and breaks it down to where I can, now he got a spoon feed it to me. And sometimes I miss it, so he takes it off my lap. Stick it in my mouth. Come on. So one day I can feed it to somebody. That's what it's all about. So you can't divorce eschatology from from Brother Hilton's ministry. Because that and him are one. He has that understanding. And you should enjoy that. You say, well, I don't believe in it. I don't get it. Well, you don't know nothing about it. How are you going to disagree? It's like a man thinking, I'm the head of the house. If you married, you're not. How do you know? Because it's not your house. I can prove that every time Thanksgiving and Christmas comes around. You ask people, where y'all going? Well, we're going to mama's house. Yeah. We're going to grandma's house. Uh-huh. They never say we're going to daddy's house. They never say we're going to grandpa's house. Why? Because daddy don't have a house. It's mama's house. I'm trying to make my house my house. We're going to eat at mama's. You ain't going to eat at daddy's. Daddy don't have a house. Dad has a mortgage note. Mama has a house. That's why it's her furniture, her coffee table, her bed. It's her taste. What belongs to me? A garbage can. That's yours. It's her house. You may be the head, but you're not the boss. That's a fact. The truth. They make you think you're the boss, but then they control you. Women are the most controlling species in the world. They know how to make you do something, make you think you thought of it. It's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, man, if I'm telling you, it's a fact, boy.
I'll tell you what, when I get married, I'm going to tell that woman what to do.
You got a revelation coming, boy. It's like one of my tape men, he's not here, one of my oldest employees, he got mad, he said, I'll tell you one thing. See, there's a West Bank and an East Bank in New Orleans, Louisiana. Be honest with you, New Orleans is totally two different cities, West Bank and East Bank. It's kind of like Minneapolis and St. Paul. I mean, it's night and day when you cross that Mississippi River. There's just something about that, that's the way it is. So, we live on the East Bank, we live on the real side of New Orleans. They got the West Bank, you know, but we live on the East Bank, which is where New Orleans proper is. Now watch this. So old Fritz comes up to me, says, he's getting married. So I married him to this woman named Tina. He says, I'll tell you what, bless God, Brother Jesse. He said, I want to let you know when me and Tina get married. She want to live on the West Bank, we're living on the East Bank. You know why? Because I work on the East Bank, my church is on the East Bank, bless God, we're going to live on the East Bank. And I looked at him, I said, oh, foolish man, who has bewitched you? I just looked at him. I said, you stand. In fact, I throwed a little cayenne pepper on him. I said, tell that woman where you're going to live, boy. You do that. You be a man. You understand that? You tell her where you're going to live. That's what I do. I lied like a dog. I had to ask God to forgive me. But I lied like a dog. I lied. Brother, they got married. Renting them an apartment. He came up to me and he says, Brother Jesse, the Lord spoke to me. I said, let me tell you what he said. It said this,
hearken to Tina if you want to live.
Guess where he bought a house? The West Bank. When you understand that, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, faith has a destination, and you have a destiny. And when these two are coming together, then the Word of God becomes visible. It becomes dramatic. It becomes redemptive in action. People see it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are finished in redemption, but we're not finished in faith. It doth not yet appear. Look out. Tomorrow comes. What will tomorrow bring? Destiny for you and destination for faith. You can do anything God said you could. You can. Anything. Start where you are. And grow to that point. And believe. What do you have to lose? Nothing but sin, sickness, and disease. Poverty. And be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon Him. For two reasons. Why would you want to hurt the heart of God? And why would you want to desecrate the wonderful work of all those that have gone before us? Now think about that. Let me say the statement again. The world and all its possessions are at the feet of people who cannot be tempted to fall. Don't never forget that statement. Are you one of those? Are you willing to sell out for God? Are you willing to walk the road of religion? Trying to find the yellow brick road where Mr. Oz lives. Are you willing to get on the road that leads to the kingdom? The crossroads are here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Stand to your feet.